This episode of La Verdad Podcast is brought to you by our friend Sonia Figueroa of CSonia.com.
Hey, B Fig.
What's up?
What's my favorite thing to do in the summer?
Watch baseball.
No. You know, my favorite thing to do is barbecue and family get-togethers, but it's hard to do when I don't have a nice big backyard.
True, which is why we should be reaching out to our chica Sonia if you want to buy a house.
Yeah, actually, Sonia has a ton of experience in helping people find the right home, especially first-time buyers, over 12 years to be exact. So, if you're listening right now and you have the itch on buying or selling, you need to contact Sonia Figueroa. V-Fig, how can you do that?
Easy. Just visit www.csonia.com. That is www.seesonia.com. Or just search for her online. She also speaks Spanish.
Habla español, mi gente, and back to the show.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Bueno, mi gente, we're back at it again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and this is your boy Christian, by the way. This is the third episode that we record on this Sunday, and now we're kind of getting hungry.
Kinda, so. We've been like our stomach's been growling. Oh my god, this is V-Fig on the mic, of course, but we are dying, absolutely dying of hunger.
So we planned on doing a little group talk session. We haven't had a group talk in forever. So we actually brought in our ex-intern, now is actually part of the team. April's like looking around like, dang, she got fired already. April, how you been?
Good.
You might. I don't think people have ever seen April other than when they go on the website.
That's about it. That's my picture.
She's she started out as a photography intern, but she's the one that produces all of the Who Is La Verdad video, all of the little introduction videos. She also did. She does all of the pictures of the podcast. She's always behind the scenes, but today we're putting her on the spotlight and making her part of the group talk session. Yeah. So, how you been, April?
Good. I'm hungry and sleepy.
Yeah, April. Yeah. April didn't have breakfast. No, I didn't. April didn't have lunch.
I woke up late and rushed over here.
April is actually a photojournalist. Mm-hmm. I want to say, you know, now she's big time.
No, right. I'm still struggling here. But yeah.
So that's her background here. We also, so I say ex intern because she did start out with us as an intern last semester, I will say.
Yeah.
Now she's part of the team officially. She does a lot of work on going out to the community, taking pictures. She did an awesome job with the Oscar Lopez event. She did the Puerto Rican parade, and she's doing a lot of other things too, and working outside of La Verdad and growing her craft as a photojournalist. So she'll be chiming in here and there. I'm trying to get her not to be as shy on the microphone. It always happens. But we're also joined by our new intern, who's handling all of the production side of the podcast. So you might have seen a post out there that we put up saying that I needed help. We needed help with somebody doing the audio, video, and the production side of the podcast. So Marissa is actually now part of the team as far as the intern side goes.
Hello.
So how you been?
I've been great. I'm so excited to be here.
Today was her first day, and started out early in the morning. Now we're in the afternoon. How was it?
It was amazing. I loved it. I was just ready to start. I woke up early, had my coffee. I'm like, okay, let's go.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I got here and it was really great discussions. You guys have a lot to look forward to with the podcast,
So Marissa actually has been a follower of the podcast for a very long time. So it's cool to have her actually now on the team and kind of do a little interview with her and talk a little bit about what she does. She went to DePaul University as well.
Shout out DePaul University.
Woo-hoo. I feel like lately we've been having a lot of DePaul University people.
A lot of great people come out of that school.
Exactly, yeah.
So she went out there and she shares the love of culture and tradition with the podcast as well. So can you give us a little bit of introduction of who you are?
Yes. So my name is Marisa Rivera. I'm Puerto Rican descent. Let's see. So I did go to DePaul University. I graduated with an anthropology major.
anthropology, right? So
it's not about bones, yeah, right?
The first thing I think about, and I'll be honest, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there are probably thinking, oh, she probably does a lot of like excavations and looking at bones and all that. But can you tell me a little bit more of what anthropology really entails?
Yeah, so anthropology is the holistic way of studying human culture. As far as bones, that would be more of like archaeology.
Okay.
Just with it's, it can be with human materials, like so human remains, or just like glass or anything that can be found in the past, like objects in the ground, that would be considered archaeology.
Archaeology.
Yes. Oh.
So anthropology is what again?
The holistic way of studying just culture and human beings and how human beings interact.
Culture. Is there a specific culture or a specific thing that you've been really into?
Honestly, I think as a kid, I've always loved history, and then it wasn't until high school that a teacher pointed out to me where I was always interested in learning about other people that were different from me, that spoke different languages, that were from different parts of the world, and it was brought to my attention that was anthropology. I just remember I remember one time my mom used to do those candles. It wasn't scented candles, it was something else, and you know, she had a little party, and this one woman, she came in, she was, you know, from different, you know, ethnicity. Yeah. And I was just curious as a kid. So I approached her and I was like, oh, hey, so, you know, I'm Marisa. And I just asked her questions about, you know, about her culture and her country. Mm-hmm. And my mom was just like, oh my God, Marisa, like, I got into religion.
Stop embarrassing
I got into religion with the lady, but she was so nice about it. I just think my fascination with people that were different from me was just something that's just been ingrained. So
would you say, like, because I've always been into understanding why we do what we do. And why do we look the way we do? And for example, I always looked into religion as well to kind of understand the culture and understand the morals that people have.
Right.
So would you say that falls under like what you do or what you like to do?
Yeah, definitely. I think religion also plays a huge part in culture. I mean, that's pretty much what, like you said, it shapes a community or group of people's mindset or perspective on things, and it shapes how they go about, you know, behaving with each other, interacting and doing things and going approaching the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, too. We've had, like, the last two interviews that we just did today. So you've probably, people listening right now have probably heard it in the last 2 weeks, right? We've talked about a lot about culture and the way that we act, but we haven't really touched upon religion a lot, and that's something that I really want to talk about in other podcasts, perhaps an interview with somebody that's, you know, might talk about ancient religions such as like Santeria and stuff like that. So to me, that's always been one of the things that I love to research and to understand, because it makes up who I am, right? It makes up a lot of the little traditions that we might have. So for example, you look at the Mexican culture, and they're really deep on Dia de los Muertos, right? And a lot of stuff have to do with that. You start looking really deep into it, and it has to do with native culture that they had, right? So would you say going into the religion could answer a lot of the questions that you might, or give you pointers of to where to look in a culture or in research?
Definitely. I think they go hand in hand. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, going into how religion plays a role in how people go about their culture. But I think also, too, understanding one's culture can also perhaps help that, for example, Santeria, there could be a negative stereotype, but I think if you understand the culture of that religion, of the people that, you know, that conduct that religion, it probably would break that negative stereotype and be like, oh, I get it now. This is why they believe this and why they do this, and not think, oh, this is bad. This is like, you know, this and that. So just to break down those barriers and create that understanding.
And I think that's the best way to go about it. I think that's one of the biggest concepts that we have in La Verdad, is it's show people the culture and the tradition and where it came from, what it is, why we do what we do, to avoid that negative stereotype, right? So, for example, you might hear, I think when we had Bomba Kombuya here, we spoke about how it was like a forbidden thing for a very, very long time in Puerto Rico, right? Because it was the whole Espiritista movement going on in Puerto Rico. The, you know, people viewed Bomba as being very negative, it was a bad thing to do. So it gave them a negative connotation. Right. The word Bomba had a negative connotation. And then you start understanding like why people did it, you know, only on certain occasions or without publicizing it or putting it out there. So I'm glad that you're able to bring that aspect onto the team. Aside from the production stuff that we're going to be doing, you could give us more ideas as to what to bring.
Were you able to, like, study into other, I mean, obviously you're Puerto Rican, right? So
yes.
Were you able to study other Latin American countries, cultures? Like, what did you, if you were, what did you learn? What did you find out?
You know, The only Latino culture class I took was just the one I had in DePaul for the Puerto Rican Chicago class. But I did have a class on I can't remember the name of the class, but it focused on religion in Latino cultures. We talked about Catholicism, curanderas, and how just religion played a role in Latino culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a class on that. I also had classes on an anthropology class on, you know, on Africa, learning about, you know, just as a concept, the history and some of the, you know, the controversies that happened and, you know, the history of that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually took a class with Dr. Good, an amazing professor from DePaul, and we just touched base about, you know, anthropology in Mexico and the Mexican culture and learning about that. So I did touch base a little bit on, you know, the African roots and then the Latino roots, and it was cool.
It's interesting to see, too, within the Mexican culture is so rich and so heavy of all different types of aspects. Like, for example, and April, you could probably attest to this or not, but you might see how, like, there's certain parts of Mexico, right, that you go to, and they're, like, really light skin and light eyes, and it's because you had people coming in there from like, Europe. Poland, right, or, like, Europe and all that. For example, I always hear people say, like, Jalisco being one on, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Or people from Durango, right, really bright.
I've heard of them, yeah.
They're, like, blonde. They look like they came from, like, Scandinavia, you know? It's, like, so different. Same thing with Puerto Rico too. Like you go, you look into Puerto Rico and you see that certain Arabics came there, right? Or there was a huge Jewish population when they were escaping World War II and the concentration camps. Same thing with Mexico as well. V-Fig, how do you feel?
I just feel like even not just from where these people are coming from, but even like I was thinking about, like, there are Puerto Ricans in Miami and Florida. There are Puerto Ricans in New York. And even within our own race and ethnicity, there's so much diversity. So I was going to ask you, April, like, obviously, you can't be the spokesperson of all Mexicans. But, like, I've even heard, like, you know, within the country, like, people in the north, you know, are, like, they have a certain way of being, or like they're like against the people in the south and they can't like mix or whatever. And I'm sure maybe
can you identify somebody from the north side of Mexico?
Is that a thing?
South?
Oh, because I haven't been to Mexico.
Okay,
so like,
I
can't really tell, but like I do know, like, in certain parts they are known for people having more colored eyes than other parts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they're lighter skin. In other places, especially down south towards Oaxaca, people are darker skinned.
Right.
That's where more of like the native people are at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's similar to like when you start looking at sociology or like the study of people, right?
Yeah.
You start understanding why they start going into that. But that kind of segues into the conversation of some of the episodes that we've had in the past. I think right now, if you're listening to this episode, this will be episode 53. So we already have 53 episodes. We hit episode 50 today while we were recording. And to me, I never thought we would even hit episode 50. When we first started out the podcast, it was kind of like an idea of perhaps just us having conversations about us, right?
Right.
About what's happening in the community, why things happen in culture. I remember the first episode that we ever recorded was with Chacha Jimenez, the founder of the Young Lords organization, who used to be a Chicago gang, street gang, that eventually became a human rights activist group, right? So we had that conversation. I was like, wow, like this has a potential to go big, right? There's not really anybody out there documenting these guys that are about to, you know, sorry to say it, they're older now, so who knows how much memory they could withhold, you know?
I'm really glad you brought that up, Christian, because part of anthropology is recording oral history and ethnography, and so I think it's important for our generation, you know, to record, you know, our grandparents, our parents' stories, because, you know, once they're not with us, those stories are forever gone. And so it's super important that you take the chance to meet with people and record their stories.
And it's always been one of my passions, because I remember when my grandmother passed away, she always had a lot of stories. And sometimes I sit here, I'm like, man, I wish I would have had the technology, or I wish I would have known or had the passion that I have now to talk to my grandma about these things and get her ideas of it. And I still try to do it with my grandfather to get an idea of how I was living in Puerto Rico in that time. So I think because of that, because I wish I could go back in time and record my grandmother, I do it now with the people that we have now. Right. So I will say, you know, one of the highlights of all of our 50 episodes, one of my favorite ones was with the Cha-Cha Jimenez, because everything that I read in college or in school, now I was talking to the person that I was reading about, right?
That's
so
awesome.
To me, it was an awesome thing. It was like a huge, like, man, I've seen this guy on.
It finally, like, circles back, right?
Yeah, yep. It does.
Then we had another episode where we talked with Abel Mohammed, and he's an avid listener of the podcast. So big shout out, Abel. He's also the Latino representation of the Nation of Islam, right? So I remember reading about Nation of Islam, reading about Malcolm X, reading about you know, all of the people that have created this organization or religion that caters to a lot of the African-American population. Yeah. But understanding that there was much more to it, I never knew there was Latinos in there. So, like, and the reason I'm breaking down these episodes is to kind of highlight some of the things that we've done within the podcast that are benefiting our listeners, right? So I think that if you're listening to the podcast right now and you're probably new to the podcast, you might want to go back and listen to these episodes. You know, the Cha-Cha Jimenez one, the one with the Nation of Islam, Abel Mohammed. You know, I think another big episode that I liked, and it's because I like to listen to music, was with Jesus Enriquez, who is a very popular salsa singer here in Chicago. But aside from being a salsa singer, he was actually one of the first Mexican salsa singers, right? So came from singing mariachi to boleros to singing salsa music in the time that salsa music was blowing up in Chicago. But it gave me an insight of the culture that was happening during the time,
right.
And how, you know, for so long here in Chicago, Puerto Rican was the Latino here, right? So you looked at Puerto Ricans and it was like, okay, those are the guys that are having all the festivals, all the bailes. And now it's mostly the opposite, right? Mexicans are the ones that are having the bailes. They're the ones that control the radio stations here. There's no tropical radio station really in Chicago. So to me, it was nice to go back in time, and it's always nice to go back in time and to get an idea of what's going on. So I don't know, do you guys have any highlights, any episodes that you really resonates with you today?
I'm just thinking about like all the female guests that we've had, because I feel like for all of time, females are always the ones that don't always get to be in the spotlight as often as males do. So I think it's great that we've had so many female guests of Latina descent doing great things for their community. Yep. You know, we had Pinky Ring, we had Lulu, we just recently had Angie, and they're
Sonia.
Yeah, Sonia, and they're women with they don't just have one title, right? There are women of many talents, and I think that's so great that we get an opportunity to highlight them and give them an opportunity to talk about what they do and share that with everyone, not only in Chicago, but everyone that, you know, listens wherever you're listening from. I think it's so great that we're able to bring that to people and showcase what women.
I've also had, there's also been some episodes where it was like uncomfortable. I remember one of the episodes that I was the most uncomfortable at, but it was fun, is when we had an episode with this organization called Two Girls and what, Two Pads or
oh yeah, that's the one that Nathie brought in. They were talking about periods, and
well, and it's an awesome organization. two girls and some pads. Two girls and some pads.
Yeah.
Big shout out to them. They're doing great things in the community. Basically, what they do, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to the episode, go back and check it out. What they do is they collect, you know, donations and
feminine products.
Feminine products to give it to homeless people, especially homeless women, right? Because they don't have, some of the homeless women are using the same pads for the whole menstrual period, menstrual cycle. Am I saying that right? So I remember being in that conversation. I was like, I don't know anything that's going on.
You didn't have much to contribute.
Did you talk at all, or you just like?
I did. I mean, I had to leave the conversation.
I feel like he had, you know, quite a bit of questions. Oh, I don't know. Like, he did pretty well.
Then we've had, you know, conversations with other people that they, you know, they talk about sex and and talk about relationships, which is great. Like, I always wanted to like have a podcast show that talked about a little bit more about the taboo things that we don't talk about, and especially within the Latino community. You know, we don't like to talk about religion, sex. I mean, and it's the thing that we do the most, right? It's like we go to church on Sundays, but then have sex the day before. You know, it's like there's a lot that we do in the community, in the Latino community, that we really haven't talked about yet in the podcast. So I'm hoping in some episodes we start bringing that in. It is in my hopes, you know, that we bring a sex therapist or a sex health expert.
Sexpert
to the podcast. So if you're listening and you know somebody, you know, hit me up, hit up Marissa. We'll definitely contact them, because we want to bring those taboo things. For example, mental health has been a real big taboo thing in the Latino community. So I've made it a mission of mine to bring it up. You know, I always talk about how I have anxiety and how I go to a therapist about certain things. So I always make it a point where I want other Latino men, especially, to feel comfortable that going to a therapist is okay, right? Because to me, it was very hard for me to say that because a lot of people probably thought that I was crazy or I'm not capable of doing things. I mean, it comes to the point where, like, you know, certain people might not give you a position or something if you mention that you have anxiety, right? So it kind of sucks. So those episodes to me were a highlight. April, you have anything? Any episodes that you think of?
The ones that pop in my head when I heard you guys talking about it, I like Bomba Kombuya,
that was an awesome one.
About like going back to the roots, and they were really into it. And then the Sofrito one.
Oh, that was awesome.
I like that her and her sisters got together and like blended both cultures together and gave it back to the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a little breakdown with Sofrito, what's the actual
Jessica
name
Holmes?
Is what's that?
I thought you were saying the girl's name. Oh wait.
No, Jessica is the founder of the company, but their name of the company is Sol Boricua.
Oh.
Sol Boricua, right? They have Sofrito that they make. Sofrito is a cooking base that we use in the Puerto Rican culture.
Right?
That episode was awesome because she talked about going back to Puerto Rico and you know, doing farming, doing the actual products there, and then the backlash that she's gotten, right?
Yeah.
Being that she is half African American, half Puerto Rican, and actually trying to sell that in a big chain store, Whole Foods, which is in the Inglewood location. I thought that was an awesome episode. I forgot about that one. It was really cool.
And then she gave jobs, or she had people that were in prison too, like that would give them the opportunity to work.
She hires, people that, those are the people that have the hardest time trying to find a job, you know, and unfortunately fall back into some of the bad
system again.
What about you, Marissa? Anyone that you've heard of that you think was like, whoa, this is pretty cool?
Along with the mental illness one, which I think is super important, especially I think in society, I think it's becoming a more, there's more knowledge being spread out.
It's being talked about,
but I think we still have a long way to go, and I think it's happening within a lot of families, or someone that we really care about or know is going through that. So that's a huge one for me. Another one was is it Berto Pilon, the one who came in recently?
Oh, Urban Pilon, yeah.
Pilon.
Roberto from Urban Pilon.
I just follow you on Instagram. That's why I just use your name from Instagram. I love the fact that he talked about, like, you know, for example, why we eat pork and the history behind that and the meaning. It's just, it's nice to know you know, now all we do talk about, you know, being Puerto Rican, our pride, but like why we do the things we do. That's one of the reasons why I followed the podcast. I was like, yeah, I want to educate myself more about my own roots. And so that was a really neat podcast to
And I love the fact of, you know, how some of the people that we've interviewed, well, mostly all the people that we've interviewed, keep in contact with us even after the podcast.
And that's how we build our community. Yep. You know, that's our vision, is to build this community that continues to keep that culture alive. And we've been able to do that. And I think that, you know, consider me hit our 50th episode, and we're able to build this community that definitely shows the success of La Verdad and where we're still continuing to go, you know.
I think even like when I listen to old podcasts, like I think about like when V Fig first started on the mic and Nathi. Nathi, we need you back, man. You gotta come through one of these episodes. Nathi's been busy, so by the way, so if anybody's been wondering what happened to Nathi,
she's still here. Busy.
She does a lot of background work with us. But I remember when they first got in, they did a group talk session. And then they eventually did the girl talk, and it gave me a break for like 1 week.
Yeah, we locked you out. We did.
I want them to do it again.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, right? Everything that a quote unquote typical girl would talk about, like dating and online dating and our families and how our dads raised us and things like that. We talked about how I met, you know, Christian. That wasn't a big thing before. We weren't announcing that, but it was a good episode.
So one of the things that I loved is that you know, Navi Fig is doing blogs. She did her first blog.
I did my first blog. Everybody, awesome. Read it. Go read it right now.
It had to do with camping and
Father's Day.
Her long crazy list of camping materials that you need to take for camping, and the awesome help that we get from her mom and her dad, and the traditions that they have within the family. And I think it's one of those things that I personally love, the fact that they uphold little traditions. It could be something little as every year we go watch a movie on the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, things that I feel like a lot of families nowadays have lost. You know, right. I personally don't have that anymore. And it's because, you know, either it has to do with divorce or it has to do with someone passing away in the family. Mm-hmm. But the fact that her family does that and keeps up with those traditions, I love that. I'm a real big person that has to do with traditions. Like, if you have a tradition as small as, like, oh, every year for Christmas, we have to wear flannel pajamas, you know, like, I'm cool with, I'll do it. I'll add to that tradition. I'll go ahead and wear flannel pajamas.
Yeah, we have,
you know,
quite a few interesting
traditions. Have a, if you haven't read the blog yet, she talks about the Father's Day tradition that they've been doing for the last, what, 20-something years?
23 years, yeah. It's the same day that my parents moved into their home, and so they kind of just combined, like, a housewarming with Father's Day, and of course, that's totally my dad's personality, right? Let's highlight the dads and let's have a party, let's drink. But yeah, it's been going on for 23 years now.
And then she also highlights the camping trip that they go to, which this year was the 10th anniversary.
So it was the 10th anniversary of one part of my family that we've been going together, but I mean, I myself have been camping since I was probably, I don't know, 7-8 years old, because I was in Girl Scouts and I did all of that. And my mom eventually became like our Girl Scout leader. And even though I stopped doing Girl Scouts, you know, we still as a family went camping. And then we eventually started inviting different families. And then we did like, that was this family. It was like the immediate family. Then we went to like other extended family and we did other trips. So it was the extended family that we had 10 years. But I mean, since I can remember, I've been sleeping in a tent.
I mean,
every year.
This year I was able to join them too. And it was really fun. I was able to take my daughter. There were some funny stories that happened during that camp trip. I remember we went to the pool and, you know, we're just relaxing. I think it was raining the day before. And my daughter was like up early and she said, we need to go to the pool. So we finally go to the pool and it was just me and her, right?
At
the pool. And everybody else comes to the pool and then we noticed something like floating on the pool. A kid or something had an accident, like they pooped themselves or something. So I was pooping the pool and I'm like,
oh, I had to get out.
Everybody jumped in the pool. That's all empty now. Oh my God.
So like we got away with it, but I think that was the highlight of the whole trip was because
it was not.
Yeah,
highlight.
I was like, I was,
you know,
just wondering.
It happened four times last year.
Really?
I don't know if it was the same kid or what, man. But because they close down the pool because they have to like put these
sanitize
chemicals and whatever.
I thought it was funny. It was just something I know my daughter's probably gonna think about it for a long time. But I don't remember when that kid pooped in the pool or whatnot. They also had like a little fire truck that they take like on Saturdays or whatever. They put all the kids in, so we were able to put Abby on it, and she is. They go and they wet everybody in the tents, right? So she was like having a blast, like, wetting everybody, trying to get me and all that. So my biggest thing is like I want to be able for when she gets older, she could be like, oh, I remember when I went camping when I was like this age, because she's already at an age where she's five, so she's at an age where she'll remember all of these little things. So I guess what I mean by that is that I want to encourage those that are listening to the podcast to create traditions, right? If you don't have one that your family's been doing forever, there's nothing wrong with creating a new one and upholding it every single year. You know, I've always been big on that. Every single year I try to do one little thing here or there, especially with my daughter, that's always going to be the same for many, many years. Right. So do you guys have any traditions that your family does that you can remember?
Well, we just started the whole pajamas on Christmas and playing flannel. And it's so nice.
Is it flannel? You wear flannel pajamas? Well,
I just happen to wear flannel.
Everybody has to wear flannel pajamas.
But I think we just like wear like Christmas pajamas. And mom will go out and she'll get pajamas because she has to do that. And it's just, it's kind of nice because, you know, I don't mind getting dressed up. But like sometimes if I'm at home, I just want to chill, you know.
Right,
so I can
right.
just eat my panini and my rice in pajamas. And then we can watch Christmas movies. So it's kind of fun to do.
That's always a fun thing to do in the holidays because I always found it funny. There was a meme out there that talked about the holidays. Like, Latinos get all dressed up like they're going to a baile.
Just to sit in the house.
To sit
for
in the
hours,
sala.
Right?
You see everybody wearing a baile like they're going to Aragon or something.
Yeah.
In the sala. What about you, April? You have any traditions that you still do or your family
the
still
one
do?
I could think about is on Christmas Eve going to one of my aunt's house. She always has it like in her basement.
Mm-hmm.
And like when my grandparents were alive, like they would always go to that house since it could fit all of us in there. And then we would always have tamales or flautas, but then there's no more tamales anymore because they would make them. My aunts would make them
by
hand.
From scratch.
And I guess like it got too much work after.
It's a long process. I can imagine.
So April, it looks like someone's gonna have to take over.
It's so hard. Me and my brother tried one time.
Okay.
It didn't taste good.
It is.
Yeah,
could
you try?
Trial and error. Yeah. Trying.
Well, yeah, we would do that. And then at the end, like once it hits midnight, I don't know where they got this from, but they put the little baby Jesus in a blanket.
Yeah.
And then they start singing
That's
like,
awesome.
That song.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's always been, so that was one tradition that I tried to keep up. And I know, I think it's big in the Mexican culture where it was like, you don't put the baby Jesus out until midnight, right?
Mm-hmm,
so it was one of those things. And I know we're talking about holidays in the middle of July, but it's something that in the holidays tends to be where the traditions come out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So like I said, you know, I want to encourage everybody, even if you could comment on this podcast, any tradition that you have or anything that you've been doing for the longest time, put it out there, man. Maybe that could be somebody else's new tradition, right? That they can start doing. This podcast is going to be a little shorter today. We've kind of been wanting to get together and talk about the highlights that we've had as we hit over our 50 mark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping we hit 100, you know, real
quick.
Within the 50, we went from doing a weekly session. I mean, we went from doing a monthly session to a weekly session. We went to getting better equipment. We went to adding people into the podcast. We went to even getting sponsorship for the podcast.
We're growing.
So, yeah, and to the point where we were only the people listening to us in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, only people listening to us in Michigan and Chicago, to the point where now people are listening to us in Japan, in Singapore, and all. I could name a bunch of different Latin American countries. It's all because
our guests, right? Fans, people that are listening.
I want to be
like,
cliche,
all
but
thanks to you guys.
Thanks to the followers. Thanks to all of those that have shared. Even if you hit like or share to our page, we truly appreciate it because this is a passion project, right? We do this from the bottom of our hearts to capture and highlight what we do and what our culture is all about. So.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's been a quick little group talk session. I want to do this a little bit more.
We need to do more group talks, I think. Once Nathie gets settled in and has a little bit more time and because we're scheduled together. We'll get her on here. Maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll do another girl talk with all of our female team members.
That would be awesome.
You're getting outnumbered, Christian. You're the only
one
there.
I am, man. I'm the only guy in this room. And then whenever we have a female guest, it's like, oh, okay, so I'm the only guy here.
You're singled out. So,
I appreciate what all you guys are doing. Mi gente, make sure that you like, subscribe. We do have apparel out there. So if you're looking for a snapback, I know that's the hat that we have available. When we released the dad hat, it sold out quickly. Like in 2 weeks, it sold out. So we have the dad hats. We're now developing new designs for more merch and more apparel. If you want a wristband, hit me up. I'll mail one to you. If you're going to promote it and take a picture of it on Instagram, whatever, just let us know. Let any of us know, and we'll be more than happy to give one to you. So once again, thank you so much. Thank you, ladies, for joining today. And it's time to eat, man.
I'm waiting for that call. That delivery man better show up.
We hangry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been fun. Mi gente, peace and God bless.